Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning. And it is Tuesday at 9 o'clock, and that means it's time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Doing well, fellas. How are you guys doing today?
We are doing wonderful. And, Charles, lots of discussion today about some Titans' potential moves in the offseason. We'll discuss that a little bit more coming up. But I want to start with your thoughts on the trade the other day, some quarterback movement, sending Matthew Stafford to L.A., Jared Goff now out. What did you think of that trade, and what kind of an upgrade is this for the L.A. Rams with Matthew Stafford at quarterback?
It's interesting because Sean McVay, I'll tell you what, when he's done with a quarterback, he's clearly really done. And, I know he had some frustration with Jared Goff. And, it was interesting, a couple of, not this past summer, but summer before, I spent some time with him. We talked at length about Goff. And at that time, he expressed this hopefulness that, okay, Goff's getting to this point where he can grow beyond my control a little bit. He can affect the offense in his own way. And I think what McVay thought at that time is this kid's ready to ascend into the, elite level of guys who basically start to leave their own fingerprints on the offense, and it doesn't take the coach micromanaging it. It didn't happen. For whatever reason, you can either blame it on McVay's scheme or Goff himself. He rolled backward in 2019 and 2020, and after having talked to some people inside the Rams franchise, they just said, look, Sean didn't believe he could run the offense in a way that, he thought was necessary to win a Super Bowl. And once he had crossed that bridge, particularly this season, we were going to have to get rid of him. We were going to have to figure out how to move him despite, signing this massive contract. Now, Matt Stafford is going to be 33 in February, but, the Rams believe this is a guy who's got at minimum 2 to 3 year window of prime elite level play in their system. And if you look at the contracts, with the Rams, everything's aligned. All the big stars are under contract for a couple years here. So the window is there for them to make this Super Bowl push, and they clearly feel Matt is the guy to do that. Now, the price they paid, you to send 2 first-round picks, a third-round pick, and then Goff to Detroit, it's framed as a salary offload, which it is. You're getting rid of a toxic asset, which is about $43.2 million in guaranteed money over the next 2 years. They send an extra first-round pick with Goff, basically, to get Detroit to take on that salary. But, Detroit's got Brad Holmes as general manager. He comes over from the Rams. Ray Agnew's his number two. They both still believe that Goff could reboot himself in Detroit and away from the Rams. So it's a heck of a price to pay, for the Rams. But if you really truly believe the quarterback is the only thing keeping you from running the offense you want and everything else is aligned the way it needs to be to win a Super Bowl, then it makes sense. But you got to win a Super Bowl in the next 2 to 3 year window. And I'll say this about this entire trade. If this does not work out for Sean McVay, if Matt Stafford has issues with him and the offense sputters, it's going to be It's a Sean McVay problem at that point. It's the league, because the way the Rams are painting it is, hey, Sean's adjusting his offense to keep ahead of the NFL. Jared Goff couldn't keep up. We had to go get a guy who could. That's Matt Stafford. Well, if that doesn't work out, now people are going to start to look at McVay and say, is this a John Gruden situation or an Adam Gase situation where you have someone who's ahead of the curve on offense but then can't continue to adjust what he does to keep ahead of everyone?
So what do you think? Matt Stafford, is it going to work out?
I want to say yes. Look, Joe, I'm from Michigan. Obviously, I've watched this guy, from afar his entire career, and the talent level is there. I think he's wasted, the vast majority of his career in Detroit. But I also don't want to get too far out of pocket with just giving Matt Stafford all this credit just because he was in the Lions franchise. We look at Calvin Johnson, we look at Barry Sanders, we look at all these other players where we're like, Detroit wastes the careers of great players. And I want to believe that that's Matt Stafford, but, no playoff wins. There were times where, Matt would throw bad interceptions. He's got a lot of fourth quarter comebacks. People talk about that, but I wouldn't say he was always perfect inside Detroit, but they swapped out a lot of offensive coordinators. You know, it was a dysfunctional team. And I will say this, when you talk to people around the league who really know quarterbacks, they all like what Matt Stafford brings to the table. Sean Payton loves him, thinks he's a great player. So, you know, guys who are far smarter than me believe in Matt Stafford being a high-level, you know, player in the right system and with the right coach. And look at the teams that went after him. I mean, look, San Francisco made a run at him, really wanted him, and didn't work out. And, you know, look, Denver, you know, really wanted him. Trying to think of who else really got in on him. Washington, you know, probably had the second-best offer on the table. So, look, he was very much pursued, which is pretty interesting, given that he's going to be 33 years old. I think he can have success under McVay, but I'm just telling you, the thing about McVay, what worries me, and I love Sean. I think he's a great coach. I love interviewing him, but, you know, John Gruden was this offensive genius in Tampa, right, and with the Raiders, and then he goes to Tampa. And then all of a sudden his offense started to fall behind. The league figured out how to solve it and attack it. And then he never adjusted. And what did we hear from John Gruden before he ended up going into TV land for a long time? All he had was problems with quarterbacks. The quarterback problems, quarterbacks, quarterbacks, swapping out quarterbacks. I'm not saying that's McVay, but I'm saying that if Stafford doesn't work out and it's a quarterback problem again, I'm going to start to think about Gruden. Remember, McVay was on Gruden's staff, you know, way back in the day. This is one of his, you know, one of the guys that he's sort of patterned himself after, and also Kyle Shanahan. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. The target is now squarely, I think, on McVay moving forward.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Charles, we were talking earlier in the show about Antonio Brown. It looks like he's going to be available to play in this game for Tampa Bay. Yeah. What have you seen from him so far? And as they get through this process here and he enters into free agency, what sort of value do you think he has? How's his image around the league right now?
I mean, it's limited. It's very limited. It's no one wants to take roll the dice on the risk of Antonio Brown. It's not going to be a situation where all of a sudden he's reinvigorated, you know, his career. What's out there on him is out there. He still faces a civil trial, you know, after the Super Bowl is over. That's going to happen. And it's like, you know, none of the issues that were there previously didn't go away in terms of particularly that civil litigation. And, you know, he's curbed his social media stuff. Like, so all the things he's doing, he's saying, he's not doing that inside of Tampa Bay. And I think Tom Brady has had a big impact on him. You know, it was reported that, you know, Tom this time last year was visiting him, in Miami during the Super Bowl. He had Tony Robbins and Adam talk to Antonio Brown. So there's a lot of like elbow grease that went into just getting it to this point with Antonio Brown. Like, do I still think he's a good player? Yeah, I do. I think that he looks like a guy who has not played football in a long time, basically sat out for a year and a half. And, you know, I think some of those injuries that you're seeing, it's evidence of someone that, like I said, just hasn't been on the field. I think when he came in, he wasn't in great football shape. And so I would say that had it not been for the injuries, he's probably a guy who'd be rounding into form for them right now. But in terms of free agency, I'm just telling you, the best place for that guy probably is going to be in Tampa Bay with Brady, because for whatever reason, Tom Brady seems to be the one guy that he listens to. Like, he fragged everybody else. You know, he even kind of took a little shot at Bill Belichick at one point on social media. He said about the worst things you could say about the NFL, you know, and for whatever reason, you know, Tom stuck with him throughout everything. And since he's been in Tampa, he listens to Tom and has checked himself. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. If they win the Super Bowl, I don't know what that's going to do to Antonio Brown's, you know, ego or where he's at. You know, and remember, there's a mental health component of this, too. So there's just a lot that really goes into this. I'll tell you this, the league, if that guy plays in the Super Bowl, he's going to have a shot at, if they win this game, he could be the kind of factor who wins a Super Bowl MVP. He absolutely can impact the offense like that. And if that happens, if you're the NFL, I mean, that's a nightmare for them because they're trying to disconnect themselves and move it away from that year and a half he was out of football and everything he said and did, and then the upcoming, you know, civil trial for the alleged sexual assault. So it's, if Titans fans are sitting there going, hey, maybe that's a guy, like, do not, I would not advocate any team that doesn't have Tom Brady on it really rolling the dice on him right now, because that seems to be the only thing that's really worked for him the last couple of years.
That's a great segue, Charles, because Titans fans are saying a few words about Shane Bowen being elevated to defensive coordinator. What are your thoughts on that move from Mike Vrabel, and also on Todd Downing, who you mentioned Gruden, previous coaching staff, of course,
right?
Kind of went up in flames in 2017 in his 1 year as a, or after his 1 year as OC.
Well, you know, Todd, I feel a little bit better about Todd because I don't have a problem elevating within when there's been an ability for the inside candidate to know what the offense is, know what the personnel is, know what the scheme is. And by the way, there's veterans. If there's veterans on the offense, you know, it's a lot. I think it's a smoother transition. We'll see from a play calling standpoint, but that to me is a little less concerning than Bowen, because I mean, Bowen, obviously when you look defensively, I don't know what you would say really worked well. I mean, consistently over the course of the season. And Mike has tried to make it clear that, look, he was basically the de facto defensive coordinator anyway. And so he's elevating into this position that he basically is just earning the title that he already was holding, you know, privately during the course of the season. What that says to me is that Mike and probably John Robinson are saying it was the players. Like, this is a player problem. It's a personnel issue. We don't have an issue with the coach. We think the coach is fine. We think the scheme is fine. Or, you know, I mean, that's not to say the scheme wouldn't be adjusted. But I think clearly they are suggesting in this move that it wasn't, you know, they interviewed, you know, Terrell Austin. It wasn't like they didn't have a chance to tip out and look at maybe other candidates, and still this is the choice that they made. So I would say that it should put the onus on the front office to do a better job with that personnel in the offseason. They have to have a far better offseason with the defensive personnel. And, you know, we'll see. I would probably think that Mike wants to also make some scheme adjustments to the personnel, knowing what failed this year. We talked about the pass rush all season long, and I'm just going to keep reiterating this. Go back and watch Tampa Bay against Aaron Rodgers, okay? Go watch what Shaq Barrett did. Go watch what Ndamukong Suh did. Go watch what Jason Pierre-Paul did, okay? Those are the three guys that absolutely disrupted that game to the point that gave Tampa Bay an opportunity to win that game. You got to have a pass rush to win at a high level in the NFL, particularly if you want to win a Super Bowl. And if they can't resolve that, I don't know that it matters who the defensive coordinator is.
You're just an amazing job of segueing into my questions, Charles. Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports. So that pass rush, okay, this banged up offensive line, I mean, that, like, I'm worried that we're going to have a – I have been worried that we're going to have a blowout in this game, because I just think the Chiefs are just way better than everybody else. But – Is that the ticket, and do you think we're going to have a great game? Who's going to win Sunday?
Well, the Chiefs, I mean, are a nightmare matchup for the Bucs on offense. I mean, it's so, you know, you sit there and you look at Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator for the Bucs, and you're like, all right, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to single him up, and are you going to be aggressive and blitz, you know, Pat Mahomes and do some of the things that you did earlier in the regular season? It didn't work. Or are you, you know, which again, this is what they did against Rodgers. They're like, hey, you know, we're going to put pressure on them and make Rodgers, you know, try to be perfect amidst the heat. And I think that that's probably what they're going to, the problem that you have now with zoning up Mahomes is he finds guys in space, and Kelsey's having one of these seasons that, you know, it's they even with the turn and run linebackers that the Bucks have, I still, nobody wants Kelce. Nobody wants a part of that guy. And Mahomes is so good with off-script stuff that, you know, you zone him up, it's going to break. And I think what's interesting here, though, it's going to come down to, let's see how well Mahomes moves. He's had a couple of weeks now to sort of rest that foot. I think Tampa Bay to win this game's got to be perfect. They're going to have to hit Mahomes. Those guys I mentioned are going to have to get heat on him consistently because the secondary is going to be, you know, have his hands full and they're going to lose matchups. And then I think Tom can't repeat the game that he had against Green Bay. Can't have three turnovers. I mean, this is going to have to be an all-world performance for Tom, and he's capable of it. Antonio Brown's going to absolutely have to be on the field and be healthy. They need their full complement of offensive players. The one thing here that makes me nervous about Kansas City is now you're without both of what would have been your starting left tackles. Eric Fisher goes down. You're playing with backup tackles now. And, you know, Mahomes could potentially get hit, you know, and that can affect the game pretty dramatically. I still think Kansas City wins this game, but I don't know that it's a blowout, you know. I think it'll be I hate putting scores on it because, honestly, guys, like, who really knows? But, you know, 31-24 Kansas City, if you have to put some imaginary score on it. Kansas City's just so good offensively that it's a massive amount of pressure on Tampa Bay to keep up. And be perfect it's hard, you know, I think to expect that from Brady and that offense at this point.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Charles, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us again this week.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good week. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
You too, buddy.
You as well. Charles Robinson, one of the best in the business, joins us here weekly every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. When we come back, we'll dive into a little bit of what Charles had to say there about Sean McVay and Matt Stafford. Did McVay just put a ton of pressure on himself by pulling the trigger on this trade? We'll discuss it when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.